Turning to God's Word this evening, the subject that I want us to consider is Paul glorying in the cross. Paul glorying in the cross. And some of the final words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, this is what he declared to them, that he was a man that gloried in the cross. Say again what it says in verse 14 here in Galatians 6, that God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word glory here means to rejoice or to boast. And so this is what Paul as a Christian rejoiced in. This is what he boasted in as a child of God, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was that which delighted him. This is what thrilled him. Jesus Christ and his cross. Writing to the church at Corinth, Paul said something very similar in 1 Corinthians 2 and the verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, this was the sum and substance of Paul's preaching and teaching. It was all focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon his atoning death on the cross. Indeed, the Apostle Paul very much summarized his ministry and the ministry of those that labored with him in the words of 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. And this was really the great summary of Paul's ministry. This was his message. This is what he declared. This is what he went forth into the world to publicize. Christ and him crucified. Now today as we think about the preaching of Christ and the preaching of the cross, it does not seem a strange or a peculiar thing to us. This is not something that we are unfamiliar with. We have heard of the sufferings of Christ. We have heard of the cross of the Lord Jesus from our earliest days. The children in our children's meeting, with very little biblical influence at home, know about the cross. They know that Jesus Christ died there. And we are familiar with the truth of the cross and what Jesus Christ did as he died on the cross. However, in the days in which Paul preached and wrote his different letters to God's people, suffering the death of the cross was the most shameful, repugnant, and despicable thing. To die by the death of crucifixion was not only to suffer the most horrendous physical pain, but the victim of crucifixion was also being displayed publicly on the cross as a most reprehensible individual. This was one of the main reasons why the Romans used crucifixion as a means of execution. So they could heap disgrace and public shame on the person who died a slow and agonizing death as they hung naked upon the cross. To suffer the death of crucifixion really was the ultimate act of disgrace and shame for anyone. It was to declare this person was the worst of individuals. This person deserves such a heinous death because they're such a terrible criminal and they're such a vile individual. Yet for a Jew to die by this means, there was an added sense of dread, disgrace and humiliation. The Lord told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 21 and the verse 23, he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. He that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. The death of crucifixion for a Jew was then not only to suffer the greatest condemnation that men could heap on a person's head, but it was also to be found in the place where God's curse was upon you. God's curse was upon you. The simple reality is, no death was so dreadful and horrific for any man than the death of the cross, but for a Jew, the death of the cross was all the more shameful, all the more reprehensible, all the more horrific. For they were told, he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. This then raises the great question. Why did the Apostle Paul, who himself was a Jew by birth, utter these words in Galatians 6 verse 14? But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he rejoice in Christ's cross? Why did he boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why did Paul say to the people in the church at Corinth, "For I am determined to know nothing, I am determined not to do anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified"? This is what I want us to think upon this evening as we consider Paul glorying in the cross. Why did Paul glory in the brutal and shameful death which the Lord Jesus died on the cross? This is what I want us to think upon tonight. Why did Paul glory in the cross? And why should every sinner glory in the cross? Indeed, the words of God's servant here really ought to be the testimony of every member of Adam's ruined race. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is exactly what every single sinner in this fallen, perishing world should be declaring tonight. "God forbid that I should glory, that I should rejoice, that I should boast, save in this one thing: Christ and his cross." Why was this the case with Paul? And why should this be the case for every other man? This evening then, I want us to consider three reasons here in verses 12 to 15. Why Paul gloried in the cross. And why we likewise should glory in the cross. In the first place, we see here, Paul gloried in the plan of the cross. He gloried in the plan of the cross. Notice in this portion of scripture, Paul sets forth a contrast between the two different ways that men are trusting in for salvation. This is really what he's doing here in this passage of scripture. I should say, first of all, that although there are many different religions in this world, and although there are a multitude of different opinions that people have when it comes to the great matter of salvation, the reality is, when everything is boiled down to its bare bones, there is but two ways of salvation that men and women are trusting in. There is but two ways. Two ways that men are hoping to one day enter heaven through. Everyone in this world that is hoping one day to reach heaven's shore and be accepted by God is seeking to get there by one of two ways. This then is the contrast that Paul brings before us in this passage of scripture. He sets forth here, in contrast, the two paths that sinners are trusting in to take them to heaven. In verse 14, Paul speaks of salvation through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation through the work of Christ, through his death. That's what he's speaking of in verse 14. And this is one way that sinners are trusting in for salvation. To enter heaven, to have their sin dealt with. To come to enjoy eternal life through Christ and through his cross. This is one way that sinners are hoping to get to heaven. But in verses 12 to 13, Paul speaks of salvation through works. Through the works of men. See again what it says in verses 12 and 13. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." Here the apostle speaks of those that were trusting in circumcision for salvation. They were making a fair show in the flesh. That's what's said here. And making a fair show in the flesh. And really what they were doing was they were trusting in their own works, trusting in their own deeds, trusting in their own religious activities and their own religious rites and ceremonies to reach heaven's shore. They were hoping to gain salvation through their works, through a fair show of the flesh. And this is what he's speaking of here. And so we have in this passage a great contrast. A contrast between salvation through man's works and religious deeds and salvation through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is setting out here in verses 12 to 15. This great contrast through which men are hoping to enter heaven and have their sins forgiven and be accepted by God. It is either through Christ and his cross or through man's own efforts, through his own works and deeds, through his own religious activities. However, as Paul speaks of the two paths, are the two plans of salvation that men hold to. He makes it very clear here to the Galatians. What plan of salvation he is holding to. And he is fully trusting in. As Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was stating in a most unmistakable manner that he was holding to the great plan of Christ's cross as his only hope of salvation. That's what he makes clear here. Indeed, the words God forbid, or but God forbid, at the start of verse 14, set forth the truth that Paul not only gloried in the cross as the great plan of salvation, but he also utterly rejected every other supposed form of salvation through the works and deeds of men. He utterly rejected these things. But God forbid! And really there's a thought of, I utterly reject everything in those words. But God forbid I should glory, save in this one thing. And is he glory in the one thing? He was rejecting all else. All the works and deeds and religions of men. He was turning his back upon these things. God forbid that I should even respect those things. Because I'm glorying in this. In this one thing. Christ and his cross. Paul gloried in the plan of God's salvation. Gloried in the plan of the cross. Now as we think here of how Paul gloried in the plan of salvation through the cross, there are a number of reasons why this was the case. And why we too should glory in God's great plan of salvation through the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As sinful men and women, we should glory in salvation through the plan of the cross. Because the plan of the cross is a gracious plan. It is a gracious plan. In other words, the cross was God graciously and lovingly providing for our great need as sinners. That's what the cross was. It was God graciously and God lovingly providing for our great need as sinners. We should never forget that the Lord was under no obligation to provide salvation for any man or for any woman. God in his perfect justice and righteousness could have condemned all men to eternal ruin and hell. He could have left everyone to suffer the horrific consequences of their own sinful deeds and ways. And no one but no one could have accused the Lord of being unfair and unjust. He could have left us in the misery of our own sin. And to take the just consequences of what our sin deserved, which was eternal wrath forever and hell itself. Yet this is not what the Lord has done. Instead, in love and in grace, God has provided a way of salvation for hell-deserving sinners. And that way of salvation is the wonderful plan of the cross. Therefore, Paul gloried in the cross. Gloried in the plan of the cross because it was a gracious plan. The plan of the cross which involved Christ coming into this world and taking the sin of his people upon himself and suffering in their place, their punishment, and their hell. This was a gracious and loving plan. This is why Paul gloried in the plan of the cross. Because this was the great manifestation of God's love towards us as sinners. Indeed, the plan of the cross is the greatest revelation of the grace and love of God towards sinners. And in this world, we have many instances where God manifests his love toward us. In fact, we are continually the recipients of God's grace and kindness and love. Our daily bread, the health and strength that we have, all that we enjoy in life, the Bible tells us, every good gift cometh down from above. Every good gift, all that we enjoy, we don't deserve. All the happiness that we experience in life, we don't deserve one slight piece of that happiness. But God bestows it upon us because he's gracious and merciful and good. Ever the greatest manifestation of God's love toward us was his great plan of salvation. Where he sent his son into this world to stand in our place and to suffer our judgment. And this is why we should glory and rejoice in the plan of the cross. For here be witness the incomprehensible love of a holy God for sinners such as we. What unspeakable love is revealed to men and women at the cross. As Christ stood there in our place, as the floodgates of God's holy wrath were opened up and hell was unleashed upon the soul of the Son of God, we see God's love for us. God's gracious love and the plan of salvation through the cross. Of course, the great matter is, how will you respond to that love? The love of God manifested through the plan of the cross. How will you respond to that? Paul then gloried in the cross because of its plan. The cross was God's gracious plan for sinners. Plan of salvation for them. But then we can also say Paul gloried in the plan of the cross because the plan of the cross is a guaranteed plan. It's not only a gracious plan, but it's a guaranteed plan. That is, it guarantees salvation, a full salvation for sinners. And that's what it guarantees. If a sinner is trusting in Christ and his cross work for salvation, if they by faith declare in their hearts, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, then they can have no doubt of their own salvation. They can have no doubt that their sins are forgiven. They can have no doubt that God will accept them. Because all that come to him through the cross work of Christ, he will accept, he will receive. The Lord Jesus declared in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Here is the unbreakable promise of Christ to sinners. All the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And if you come to me, I will not cast you out. And of course, as we come to Christ, we come to him because he is the one who has died upon the cross for us. We come to him because he is the Savior who has taken our place of condemnation. He's purchased for us eternal life. And so we come to him. Or as we come to him, we are guaranteed eternal life. Think also of the words of Paul to the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not may be saved, but you shall be saved. If you believe in the one who died upon the cross for sinners, your salvation is guaranteed. The plan of salvation through the cross is a guaranteed plan. The sinner that is trusting, truly trusting in Christ for salvation, cannot perish. So they can live in the blessed peace and assurance that it is well with their soul. This is why we can have assurance of salvation. Because of the cross. Because of what Christ has accomplished there. And when we come to enter into this, when we trust in him, and salvation through him and through his cross, then we can be assured that we are on the narrow way that leads to eternal life. By contrast, the great problem with salvation through works is, how do you know when you've done enough? How do you know when you've done enough? How do you know when you've done enough to, first of all, atone for your sin? And there's many thinking this way today. They confess, well, you know, I'm a sinner. And I know that I make mistakes and I have sinned and I've done things that I shouldn't have done. But I'm trusting that my good works will outweigh the bad. Or my good works will really atone for the bad. The good things will cover over the bad. And there's many think along these lines. In fact, I would dare to say the vast majority think in this way. But how do you know that you've done enough good works to cancel out all the bad works? How do you know? And then how do you know that you've done enough to earn for yourself the right to enter heaven and to enjoy eternal life? How do you know? How can you leave this world? How can you close your eyes in death confident that you've done enough good things to reach heaven and be accepted by God? It is this very issue that has tormented many a devout and sincere Roman Catholic. Tormented them even to their very last. It was this thing that tormented Martin Luther before he was converted. He couldn't find peace. Troubled soul. And he put his body through great penance and affliction and sorrow. All the works of the church and all the things the church could advise him in regard to what he should do, he did. But he had no assurance. No guarantee that it was well with his soul. Of course, the truth is, it is impossible for a fallen sinner to ever earn for themselves the right to eternal life in heaven. Man can never lift himself up out of the pit of sin in which he has sunken. But God in mercy has provided salvation through the cross. A plan has been secured whereby sinners can be guaranteed eternal life. And that plan is only through Christ's cross. Because Christ has done enough. Christ died upon the tree, suffering the full consequences of hell for his people. And purchasing the right to eternal life for his people. This is why it's a guaranteed plan, because Christ has done enough. And we can live, and yeah, we can die, in the blessed assurance that it is well with our souls. This is why Paul gloried in the cross, because of the plan of the cross. It is God's gracious plan. God's gracious plan to guarantee salvation for lost and perishing sinners. Now, do you, like Paul, glory in the plan of the cross? Glory in this means that God has devised for your salvation? Can you say tonight, I glory in the cross? I glory because God has provided a way for me back from the dark paths of sin. A way whereby I can be reconciled to God, and it's through the cross. Do you glory tonight in the plan of the cross? Oh, if you're a Christian, you will. You will. But then in the second place, notice in this passage, Paul not only gloried in the plan of the cross, but we see here Paul gloried in the person of the cross. This is something that is made abundantly clear in the words of verse 14. For Paul does not just say that he gloried in the cross, but he speaks of how he gloried in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle was a man focused upon the person on the cross. Focused on Christ. This then is another reason why he gloried in the cross. Because of the one who died there and laid down his life there for sinners. As you think of how Paul gloried in the person of the cross, gloried in the Lord Jesus. Again, there are two main reasons why we can give as to why this was the case. Two reasons we can give as to why this was the case with Paul. And why every sinner should glory in the person of the cross. Glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners, we ought to glory in the person of the cross because of the sinlessness of his work. Because of the sinlessness of his work. As we think of the Lord Jesus, as he was crucified and died upon the tree, we are reminded, or not only reminded, of his pain, but also of his perfection. At the cross, we are reminded of Christ's perfection. Crucifixion was a punishment and death normally reserved for the very worst of villains. It was an execution reserved for them, as I've already said. Those that had committed notorious crimes or were involved in some treasonous act were executed by this means, not only to inflict great suffering upon them, but also as a warning to others not to behave in a similar manner. And this was why crucifixion was used by the Romans. As a warning to others, don't dare try and behave in the same way, or you will meet the same fate. Therefore, as we think of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the obvious question is, what was this man guilty of? What terrible crime did he commit? And as we stand beneath the cross, we must face this reality. We must ask this question. If you had been passing by Jerusalem at the time Christ was being crucified, and you saw him there hanging on the tree, this would have been a question you probably would have asked. You would have asked this question to those standing around the cross. This man being crucified, what great crime did he commit? What evil was he involved in? To suffer in this terrible way, to be executed in this manner. And that would have been a question that would have been asked as you came to a person who was being crucified. Why is this person suffering in this way? Of course, we knew the answer in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was not dying as a wicked man. He was and is the holy and innocent one. The one without blemish. He was the one who did no evil. Neither was there any guile in his mouth. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 verse 19, Christ was a lamb without blemish and without spot. In the book of Hebrews, we are told of how the Lord Jesus is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And if you had asked, why did Christ die that day? This would have been the answer, the truthful answer that would have been given. He died not for any wrong that he had done, for he is the innocent and holy one. The Savior then died upon the cross after living a life of perfect holiness, having fulfilled all righteousness. Therefore in him, in his sinless work, in the sinless work of his perfect life, we as sinners can find righteousness. And righteousness that we need to be accepted by God. And as we think about Christ's cross, we are reminded of this, very clearly reminded of this. He died as the innocent one, the holy one. And so therefore, even in his death, we are reminded of his perfect life. And that perfect life is what we need. That perfect righteousness is what every sinner needs. If they're ever going to be accepted by God. We cannot enter heaven. We can never be accepted by God. Unless we stand before God clothed in the garments of perfection. Without the stain of sin upon us. And the only one that can give to us such perfection and righteousness is the one who died upon the middle tree, Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul gloried in the person of the cross, because of the sinlessness of his work. He died as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. As sinners, how we ought to glory in the person of the cross, because of his sinless work. We really ought to glory in him, because we have all that we need in him to stand before God with confidence and with boldness, and to be accepted by God, and to be and to have the right to enter into heaven, and to be enjoy eternal life. And so we see here Paul gloried in the person of the cross because of the sinlessness of his work. But we can also say Paul gloried in the person of the cross because of the satisfaction of his work. The satisfaction of his work. As Christ suffered and died upon the tree, he fully satisfied the demands of divine justice. In other words, he took the full punishment and condemnation for all the sins of all his people. And this is what he did. He was the innocent one. He was the one without blemish. The one who fulfilled all righteousness. But as he went to the cross, he took all the sins of all of his people upon himself. And he paid for all of those sins in full. Think of all of our sin as a great debt. All of our sin, the sin that we commit every day. Every wrong thought, adds to the debt of our sin. Every wrong word adds to the debt of our sin. Every wrong deed adds to the debt of our sin. And there it mounts up against us. And we're sinking deeper, deeper and deeper into the debt of sin. But what did Christ do upon the cross? He paid that debt in full. He cancelled it. He wiped it out as he suffered in our place. So much so that Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The believer in Christ, God has got nothing against the believer in Christ. Nothing against the believer in Christ. The one who is trusting in Christ and in his cross, God holds nothing against you tonight. And you need to understand that as a believer. Your sin has been dealt with. Divine justice has been satisfied through the cross. And that should move us to delight in our God and to worship him and to live with him with all of our strength and all of our being. This is the reason why the Christian should especially glory in the person of the cross. Because as Christ suffered and died in our place instead, he has fully dealt with the great problem of our sin. The believer can never be condemned and forsaken of God, for Christ has suffered our hell for us. The child of God can glory in the cross, saying, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And this was why Paul gloried in the cross. Not only because of its plan, but also because of the person of the cross. Because of the one who died upon the tree. He was the sinless one. He was the one who satisfied the wrath of a holy God. And so earned, through the shedding of his blood, salvation and eternal life for all who would believe in him. Do you glory in the person of the cross tonight? Do you glory in Jesus Christ? Oh, you will do if he is your Savior. You will do. If you know him personally as your Savior and God. And so we have here the plan of the cross that Paul gloried in. And the person of the cross that Paul gloried in. One last thing, notice with me. We also see here Paul gloried in the power of the cross. He gloried in the power of the cross. See again what it says in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Notice the words here. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What Paul is simply stating in these words is, the impact that the cross of Christ has made in his life is that it has brought death. Not death in a bad sense, but death in a good sense. It has brought death to sin in me. And this is what he means as he says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, this sinful world is dead to me. And this is what he's saying. This sinful world is dead to me, and I am dead to this sinful world. It is no longer sin that rules in my heart and life. And this is what Paul is saying here. He's speaking of how the cross has brought death in him, death to sin. And now sin no longer ruled in his life, no longer reigned in his heart, because he was now dead to the world, and the world was dead to him. And then notice what Paul says in verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. See here how Paul speaks of being a new creature. And the thought is, a new creation. A new creation. Once again, Paul is speaking about the power and the impact of the cross in the life of the believer. It not only brings death to sin, but it produces new life. New spiritual life. The believer in Christ becomes a new person, a new creation through the cross. That's what he's saying here. This is the power of the cross. It transforms sinners and it makes them saints. It is only through the cross work of Christ that sinners can personally know deliverance from sin's power and be made new. And Paul is making this very clear here. It's only through the cross that this can happen. Indeed, this is the whole point that Paul is really making in this passage. See again what it says in verse 13. Paul says, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh." And so Paul is saying here, these people who are circumcised and want you to be circumcised, these people who hope to reach heaven by their good works, they don't keep the law. There's no transformation in their lives. There's no death to sin in their lives. There's no new creation with them. He says this in verse 13. But then he goes into verse 14. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And what does the cross do? "By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." And he speaks in verse 15 of being a new creature. You see, this is the power of the cross. Changes individuals. Transforms individuals. They die to sin. They become new creatures. And they live a holy life that is honoring and pleasing unto God. Paul gloried in the cross because of the power of the cross. It really changed everything in his life. And of course, we know this from Scripture. We know this from Scripture. As Paul met Christ on the way to Damascus, a man who was filled with hatred and murderous intent, a man who was proud and self-righteous and thought he could earn his place in heaven through his own works and deeds, was suddenly broken. And he died to sin. And he became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all things passed away and all things became new. Paul gloried in the cross because of its power. Its transforming power in his life. Could I just ask you in closing, have you experienced the power of the cross in your life? It's a very, very searching question. Have you experienced the power of the cross in your life? I'm not asking you, do you know about the cross? Our world is filled with people that know about the cross. But I'm asking you, do you know the saving power of the cross? This is ultimately what matters. Do you know the saving power of the cross in your own life? The power of forgiveness through the cross. Can you say that I know my sins are forgiven because of the cross? My conscience is clear tonight because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed upon the cross has washed me clean. And it atones for my soul. And it pleads for me in heaven. And so I know the power of forgiveness through the cross. What about the power of fellowship with God through the cross? Do you live in fellowship with God? Do you commune with Him on a daily basis? Is He your friend? Is He the one that you speak with? Is He the one who meets with you in prayer and around His word? And your heart is thrilled? Do you know the power of fellowship through the cross of Christ, as you stand upon the ground of redemption? What about the power to fight against sin through the cross? Do you know that power in your life? The power to resist sin. The power to stand against the attack of the enemy. Through the work of Christ's cross. Pleading the merits of His atoning work. The merits of His blood. Do you know that power, that transforming power in your life? The Christian is one who glories in the cross. They glory in the plan of the cross. This is God's plan for my salvation. They glory in the person of the cross, the one who actually came into this world and went to the cross and died there for our salvation. But the Christian also glories in the power of the cross. Because this is what they've experienced. This is what has changed everything for them. They've died to sin. They're now new people in Christ. And it is their desire to live for Him and to honor Him in all that they do. Do you glory in the cross tonight? Can you say honestly and openly like Paul, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I pray that this will be the testimony. This will be the testimony of each one here tonight. We all will be people that glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen and amen.